Yes, He is Lord, and He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Oh, every knee shall bow. Is Lord. Can you make it personal this morning? Yes, He's my Lord. He's my Lord. Yes, He has risen. Is Lord. Let's sing it like that once again. Oh, He's my Lord. Oh, He's my Lord. Oh, He has risen from the dead, and He's yes. Thank you, Lord. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's stand and sing it once more. He is Lord. Oh, He is Lord. Yes, He is Lord. And He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Oh, every knee. Yes, Lord, I want to be ready to go. I don't know how long I'll be here. He said He'd come for me. And when He leaves, I will go. Be sure of it will take place. Oh, but it does not matter if I'm walking in His grace. I want to be ready. Lord, I want to be ready to go. I want to be ready. Lord, I want to be ready to go. I feel it won't be long now until He comes for me. He's gonna take me with Him, and at His feet I'll bow. Oh, is that your desire?
This morning,
amen.
It's requested that we try this song. I think you know it. If you need your songbook, it's number 7. But let's put our hands together and worship the Lord.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on time when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, as the redeemed are gathering in, we'll be washed like snow, oh, free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, and there will be a great procession over on the city will be Rome when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we'll be washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear as true. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board. When the redeemed are gathering in, and we'll hear His invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord. When the redeemed are gathering in.
you just clap it to him? Put your hands together. God bless you. Take someone by the hand and tell them you'll see them over there. Praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. When we shake hands, it's not just a formality. You're greeting that person, thanking them for showing up with their lick of fire. And I think that, you know, sometimes, oh, there goes Brother Furman again. We're going to shake hands. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord and assemble together. All these licks of fire. I have licks of fire here from Ghana. I have licks of fire here from Texas. So we're just happy to be here. So God bless you all. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'd like to greet each one of you, and including all of our visitors. So as we go to prayer here, let's see here. Just want to remember Brother Layton. He's preaching down at Brother Yancey's in Byron, Georgia this morning. Just want to pray for those services and strength for him. Brother Trevor is preaching in Scotland today, so definitely want to remember him in prayer. And also these brothers for Traveling Mercies back home. And just wherever they're, I think that Brother Layton's going on down farther south, and I'm not sure where all Brother Trevor's travels are taking him, but want to remember them, and also want to remember Brother David Virgin and his family in prayer for Traveling Mercies as well. So God bless you. If you have an unspoken prayer request, make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. He sees your need, and he knows each one. Brother Farley, would you come up? And it's good to have Brother Wade here and his wife with us from Texas. We sure is good to have them back, so ask him if he'll just pray over these prayer requests.
It's good to see you all. Let's bow. Loving Father, we're so humbled. just to be in your presence, Lord. You never forget your promises. We gathered in your name. You're here amongst us. You hear our prayers. Lord, we have brothers ministering the gospel, Lord, away from home. Lord, we know that you're omnipresent. Be with them, Lord. May the word come forth, that people would be, they'd go in better, or come out as better Christians than they went in, Lord. Lord, that souls would be turned to you, Lord. Father, we just ask abundantly for Brother Bill, Brother Trevor, Lord. Keep them safe in their travels. The other family, Lord, that was traveling, Lord, just be with them. My wife and I will be traveling a lot this upcoming week. We ask for your traveling mercies as well. Father, take hold of this service, Lord. May all things that are done be pleasing unto you. Just an honor and a privilege to be here. We give this service to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Oh, let's talk about Jesus. Brothers, if you'll come. Kings is he, the Lord of lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus. It's 592. And more. Let's talk about Jesus. Let all the world proclaim. The world proclaim the power and majesty of such a wondrous name. The babe of Bethlehem, the bright and morning star. Let's sing him. The shepherd of such tender care. Let's talk about Jesus, the rock of ages. He, that lamb for sinners slain, that man of Calvary, the great bless you. Sister Vivian is visiting with us here from Ghana, and she has a special for us, so let's sing that first verse as she comes and prepares.
Let's talk about Jesus, the King of kings is he. He's the Lord of lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the let's talk about Jesus.
We just want to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I want to sing from hymn number 376, the original life. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have called the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life, original life.
Sure, appreciate that. Amen. God bless you, sister. I had asked if the group, if they do the group special that they sang Sunday here over the special meeting, so if they'd come at this time and prepare for that.
Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm set me free. Set me free, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting victory, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set
me free. Amen. God bless you. I pray this blesses you. It sure blessed me when they sang it the first time, and I've been looking forward to it ever since, so God bless you.
is still inside the storm, the promise of a shore. I trust the power of your love, enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond the barren place, beyond the ocean.
Amen. You appreciate that? Amen. God is good. Thank you. Appreciate all the efforts that went into to learning that, because it sure blessed me. God bless you. Let's stand this morning.
Oh, I am my beloved, and He is mine. His banner over me is love.
What we've come to do this morning.
Oh, He brought me to His banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Oh, His banner over me is love. He brought me to His banqueting table. His banner over me is love. His banner. Sing it this way. Oh, He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. Place my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. His banner over me. Do you feel this way this morning? Oh, Jesus fills my cup to overflowing. His banner over me is love. Jesus fills my cup to overflowing. His banner over me is love. Jesus fills my cup to overflowing. His banner over me is love. His banner over me. His love. Let's sing it this way. Oh, I am my beloved's, and He is mine. His banner over me is love. I am my beloved's, and He is mine. His banner over me is love. I am my beloved's, and He is mine. His banner over me is love. His banner over me. His love.
Amen. You thankful for that this morning? Amen. Good to be in church again this morning. Appreciate God has sure blessed us with some wonderful musicians, hasn't He? Amen. Certainly appreciated the musicians this morning and the group special and Sister Vivian's special. And I, we've just been blessed this morning already to worship the Lord together. And before anybody makes a comment, I haven't changed over to a different brand of handkerchief and got me some pink flowered handkerchiefs, but a sister had asked me to pray over this, a young little sister, and so I'm going to preach with it this morning for a while so that you'll know what that's about. Amen. So God is good, isn't He?
Amen.
Now we, as Brother Bannon makes the statement many times, he said they took from the body of Paul handkerchiefs and aprons in the Bible, and the sick, when it was laid upon him, was healed from him. Brother Bannon will say it this way many times. He says, now we know that we're not St. Paul, but he said, but we serve the same God.
And so we're not depending on my hands. They're incapable. They're unworthy. But we are depending on the same God that anointed handkerchiefs and aprons in the day of Paul to come. He's still the same today in that manner. And it didn't say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, except for these parts that we don't like or that make us uncomfortable or that we don't have enough faith to believe for today. Said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Brother Bram teaches us that he is the same in this age again in every way that he was when he was on the shores of Galilee, except for his physical, corporal body. He's exactly the same today. Amen. So whatever you have need of this morning, I hope we can approach him in that way, that he's the same as he was back there. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this service. Thank you for your presence with us, Lord. Thank you for the songs and the musicians, and Lord, for your presence, most of all, that we feel here with us. Lord, I ask that you'd be with us this morning, be with each one, be with those that are traveling. Lord, as Brother Trevor just texted me a few moments ago and said he's already had a good service over there in Scotland and safe travels to there. Lord, we thank you for your protecting mercy. And Lord, as Brother Layton's probably in the pulpit now preaching down in Georgia at Brother Yancey's, I ask that you'd be with those brothers, just anoint them, use them in these meetings as they're traveling, protect them, keep them safe. Lord, the ones that will be traveling this week, Lord, Brother David Virgin and his family, Brother Wade and Sister Heidi, and the different ones that will be traveling this week. I ask that you would just go with them, protect them on the roads, Lord, and be with us here as we gather together as a group of believers this morning. Lord, may we just come into a closer relationship with you. May you encourage our hearts this morning. Lord, maybe there's many that came in discouraged this morning about different things that they're facing, but Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would take complete control. Lord, may we go out of here with courage, and may we go out of here with victory and peace and comfort, Lord, that only your word can bring. Lord, we'll give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus Christ's name, we commit it to you for your glory, Lord. Amen. God bless you this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I normally don't announce a whole lot of birthdays, but Brother Furman turned a year older today, so make sure you wish him a happy birthday when you go out. And Brother Jimmy is turning a year older tomorrow, I believe, and I'm sure I've missed somebody this morning that's having a birthday this week, but I know those two for sure, so we thank God for them and for all that they do for the church, and certainly appreciate God giving them another birthday this year. And amen. My, it's just good to be serving the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. I want to continue with this thought that we started looking at last Sunday on dealing with negativity. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" That's a good question this morning. Is the Lord among us or not? Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of the word. Lord, we know that your word is anointed. Now we just ask that you would anoint me, anoint my lips, my tongue, my vocal cords, Lord, to speak something that would encourage and help and edify. Lord, that's what we're here for this morning, is to learn more about you and to worship you, to grow closer to you, Lord, and anoint the hearers that they could receive not only through their auditory senses, Lord, but Lord, also into their hearts. May they receive something that would leave a lasting impression on them, Lord, of a better way that they could live life, Father. Father. In Jesus Christ's name, thank you for it, Lord. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. As we looked at last week, Moses coming and delivering the children of Egypt with signs and wonders, God using him in a mighty way, plagues and many different things that took place there. And Moses would bring them out, and God using him to do it with a mighty hand, and they would come up against the Red Sea, and it looked impossible scientifically, geographically. Every way it looked like it was impossible, yet God would do something supernatural and bring them through the midst of the Red Sea. And not only that, but he would drown their taskmasters behind them. Then they would get to a place where they were thirsty, and the only water they could find was bitter water. And so God would tell Moses, even though the people were grumbling and complaining after seeing the supernatural thing that God had did, God would tell Moses to take a tree and to throw it into the water, and it would take the bitterness away from the water. And then they would go a few more days' journey, and they would find that they were hungry, and they would begin to complain again. And, oh, did you bring us out here into the wilderness to starve to death? And we had plenty of bread and food and leeks and garlics and things back there in Egypt. And their hearts begin to turn back already. After a few days of freedom, they were ready to go back into bondage again. God help us. God help us that a prophet of God would come and bring us out of the denominational bondage of man's legalism, and then something within us as man would try to come in and set up man-made systems right in the very name of the message that came to bring us out of that. Shame on us. God help us that we would try to put people back under the same yoke that the message came to break us from. So I thank God that where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. There's freedom in the Holy Spirit. I thank God for that this morning. So if you're being oppressed by man-made traditions or by man-made legalism or something like that, you know, we believe in the Word of God, but we don't believe in coming and writing a whole nother book of the book of Nathan or the book of this one or the book of that one to oppress our opinions or force our opinions on you, but we believe in the Word of God. So I want to stand for that with all that's within me, but we don't need to come and add any extracurricular. Brother Nathan thinks you should do it this way, and Brother Hoover thinks you should do it that way. No, let's go back to what the Word says. And so they would come out, and God would provide them food. Not only would he provide them food, but he would rain angels' food down out of heaven for them. And then that wasn't enough for them. That began to be common for them, and they longed for something else. And they would come, and they would begin to get thirsty in Exodus chapter 17. And you know, there was a pattern that Israel had. In the good times, it was easy for them to praise the Lord. Oh my, God's blessing us, God's parting the Red Sea, God's feeding us, God's giving us water. It was easy for them to praise the Lord in the good times, but when the times got a little tough and when things began to get hard, the circumstances didn't look good, and the pressures of life began to come down upon them, they would always revert back into, oh, we were better off back there in Egypt. And we look at them and think how pitiful that is, but how many times do we as believers, if we're not careful, oh, it's easy for us to lift up our hands and praise him when the bills are paid and when everything's going good and when there's health in the family, but then a little trouble begins to come along and we begin to do the exact same thing that they did, if we're not careful, to mumble and grumble and complain and get discontented with what our situation is. But Paul, a man who would be stoned and beaten and he would be kicked out of this town and that town, and he would be shipwrecked and floating in the deep and bit by snakes and persecuted and imprisoned and jailed, and he would stand there and say, I've learned whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. Oh my, if Paul can say it, I think we should be able to say it this morning. Whatever the situation, God, as long as we know that God is with us, then that should be enough for us. But yet they would always get into a spot where when things weren't going just their way, they would begin to murmur. That this word murmur, if you look it up on dictionary.com, it says a mumbled or private expression of discontent to make a low or indistinct sound, especially continuously. If you don't know what this sound is, just wait till you have teenagers and you'll hear it a lot. A low or indistinct sound, especially continuously. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to eat my food. I got to take out the trash. I got to do that. A murmur. Oh, my goodness. God help us this morning. We're getting in trouble already. to murmur, to mumble, a private expression of discontent, to make a lower, indistinct sound, especially continuously. And can you imagine 2 million people mumbling and complaining and griping at a vindicated prophet of God? And every time he turned around, didn't matter what God was doing for him, how much God had blessed him, how many testimonies they had back down the path behind him, how many signs and miracles and plagues and wonders and supernatural things that God had did, carving the Ten Commandments, the finger of God by the pillar of fire, carving this out, and all these miraculous things that they had seen, waters parting and walking across on dry land. And every time a little bit of trouble rose, instead of saying, hey, he delivered us last time, surely he's able to deliver us again, they would go right back into this pattern of mumbling and complaining. And Brother Branham said, what Israel was in the natural types us in the spiritual. So we should take a quick look at this, or not a quick look, but a deep look in this, I believe, and see if our life is beginning to match that pattern, that every time something comes up, we get frustrated and we get discouraged, and every little thing that winds that blow just knock us down. But I want to be grounded and rooted in the Word of God enough to know that it doesn't matter. The devil can huff and puff, but he will never blow the house of the bride of Jesus Christ down, because it's built on a firm foundation. It's built on a solid foundation of the Word of God, and not on the shifting sands of man's ideas. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, St. Paul tells us, do all things without murmurings or disputings. Oh, my goodness. That's a big bill to fill, isn't it? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. It seems like we want to, our human nature, it seems like that's just our natural instinct to murmur and dispute everything that comes up. The boss tells us to do something, and well, we don't want to do it. We don't feel like it fits our job description. We have a better way to do it. We want to argue about it. The parents tell the children, or the spouse discusses this with that spouse or whatever. And if we're not careful, it's constantly a murmuring and a disputing. And St. Paul comes and tells us, do all things without murmuring and disputing. In our own human nature, this scripture is impossible for you to fulfill in your own human nature. Your old human nature is constantly going to revert back to, this isn't fair, and I don't like this, and I don't want to do this, and it's too early, or it's too late, or I'm too tired, or I'm too sick, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. And then we find ourselves, we can't go to church, we can't do this, we can't do that. Of course, when it comes to work, we can make it to work, or if there's a good, good lunch special down at the restaurant, we can make it to that. But when it comes to church, oh, I'm too weak, I'm too sick, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, I'm too this, I'm too that. And we begin to murmur and complain and find excuses. But I like to find excuses to go to church, not find excuses to stay out of church. Oh, my brother so-and-so is having a revival down there. We're not having meetings that night. That'd be a good excuse for us to go to church. Or oh, my, we're going to have a youth Bible study or a special meeting or something. Another excuse for us to go to church. I love to find an excuse to go to church. Proof of the Resurrection, 1955. Brother Bam says, man, in his own mental way of thinking, is wrong to begin with. Some of the wives will print this out and put it on the refrigerator and on your bathroom mirror and everywhere you look. Now, brothers, man in his own mental thinking is wrong to begin with. Honey, you're wrong to begin with. But when the Bible or the Message says the word man, it's usually talking about all of humanity. So I believe that applies to the sisters as well this morning. Us, our own human nature and our own mental way of thinking, it's wrong to begin with. Why? Because we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. And in our own ability, we have selfish motives, and we have our own personal agendas, and we have our own pre-designed ideas that are, we want it this way, and we was raised this way and all this. But in our own mental way of thinking, it's wrong to begin with. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to come and change our way of thinking. We need the Holy Spirit to come and give us the mind of Christ, so that it's not just the Bryant genetics or the Hoover genetics or the Pierce genetics or whatever. That's all wrong. In our own mental way of thinking is wrong to begin with, but we need God to come and change us from the inside out. Not to be reformed, or not to be all these other things, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now I want to look at a few things this morning on trying to help us deal with negativity. And I want to look at a thing, some things I ran across. There's many different things in psychology and science that would go right along with this. We could probably spend months and months going through different similar things, but I just picked one out that I ran across yesterday online, and this is from Forbes.com. It's an article about training the subconscious mind. You see, and I told a brother after the service last Sunday, he had texted me, it was Brother Arnie was texting me some things about the service, and I told him, I said, Brother Arnie, I think if we could really get a revelation of that constant positive confession, not just when I feel good confessing it positive, not just when things are going good confess it positive, but a constant positive confession. That's what delivered John Ryan. Remember the blind man we talked about last Sunday morning? We'll read another quote about him maybe this morning if we have time to get to it. But a constant positive confession. He could no more see as far as his circumstance or as far as his symptoms. He could no more see than he could for the last however many years he'd been blind. But a prophet of God tells him, go and testify thanking God for healing you. And he had a constant positive confession. He didn't wake up every morning and look at his symptoms, but he woke up every morning and he said, thank God for healing me. And Brother Benham says, he said, God will make your body obey your confession. God will make your body obey your confession. If we could get a real revelation of that, I don't think it would just change our health for the better, but I think it would change our attitudes for the better. I think it would change our personal relationships with our friends or our spouses or our children or our coworkers for the better. I think it would change our spiritual walk with God for the better if we could constantly have a constant and consistent positive confession. How's things going, Brother Nathan? Wonderful. If I was doing any better, I don't know how I could stand it. How you feeling? I'm feeling incredible. How's your financial situation? Oh, it's wonderful. How's your family? Everything is perfect. My children are saved. You know what? They're doing good in school. They're just so many good things that God is doing for them. They got good health in their bodies. They've got the right mind. All these things. I've got so many positive things that I can confess. And you know what? Even if it doesn't look positive, I can still confess to the positive. The scripture said, we looked at last week, said he is the high priest of our confession. And Brother Bam said he can only bless you as you confess it. So I'm tired of claiming bad things and negative things over me or my family. I want to claim good things that are in the Word of God. Now, once again, we want to be careful because it's a slippery slope. We have to be careful on this because this is not name it and claim it. This is not me go out tomorrow and say, bless God, he's going to give me a Ferrari. No, I have no need of that or no scriptural promise for that. But I can go out tomorrow and say, the token is applied. My children are going to be there. Amen. I can say my health is restored no matter what the doctor says because I have a promise in the Word. That's not name it and claim it. That's every promise in the book is mine. Amen. So there's a difference in you trying to go out and speak something that's contrary to the Word of God or unnecessary. And but there's a vast difference in that and you coming in line with God's Word and saying, I am only going to speak what God's Word says about me. I'm going to stop speaking what my neighbor says about me or what my boss says about me or what my own mental thinking says about me or what the devil wants to say about me. I will only speak things that God says about me. Amen. Now, the way that you create a bad habit is you start to do something and then you just, by repetition, you keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Some of you brothers that golf, if you go out here or you shoot basketball or play baseball or whatever, if you start off with some bad habits and you get in the habit of doing that a certain way and you're doing it the wrong way, but you've done it that way 5,000 times, it's going to be a lot harder for you to ever change whatever that little twitch or turn or the way you're holding your golf club or the way you're releasing the basketball or the way you're holding your baseball glove. It's going to be harder to overcome that and do it right if you've done it wrong 5,000 times in a row as if you would just start doing it right from the beginning. Because you can form good habits just as easily as you can form bad habits, but once we get in the habit of doing something, then it's hard to break that. So if you can, by repetition, you get up and you have an ache and a pain, and every day, oh, you want to talk about that ache and pain, oh, it's worse today, and oh, it's terrible, and the doctor said this, and the doctor said that, and everybody you run into, you want to say something bad, I heard what they did, and didn't you hear what so-and-so said on Facebook about them? I heard there was a little deal in their family over here, and you're constantly wanting to look at that, and you get in the habit habit of projecting negativity out of your mouth all the time, it's going to be harder for you to bring it back around. But just as you got in the habit of doing that, you can get in the habit of saying the right things. Amen. Little Sister Hattie Wright down there, we took some brothers and sisters to see where her grave was and where her house was, where Brother Branham was sitting when he was telling the stories of the squirrels being spoken into existence. The same Jehovah Jireh that could speak and allow there to be a ram for Abraham, that same Jehovah Jireh could speak through human lips again and say, "Say what you will, Sister Hattie." And here she was sitting there. She wasn't a theologian. She wasn't a millionaire. She wasn't in the who's list down into the social club, but she said the right thing. And I want to say that doesn't have to be once upon a time for Sister Hattie Wright back in the 40s or the 50s, but that can be for you every day of your life. You can choose to say the right thing or you can choose to say the wrong thing. It's your choice this morning. You can choose when you get up in the morning. You know, it doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. Doesn't matter what the bank account looks like. Doesn't matter what you feel like physically or all the pressures of life that you're going through mentally. When you wake up every morning, you can make the choice, I'm going to have a good day, or you can make the choice, I'm going to have a bad day. Doesn't matter. You know, there was Joseph in the prison. Potiphar had taken him down and put him in prison. Yet he could get up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm a child of God. I'm a vindicated prophet. I've got all these things that are promised to me. He could look at it where he was at and his geographic location and how terrible things have been done for him. Or he could look to the promise of God. You know, I saw the vision of what's going to take place. I can hold on to my circumstance or I can hold on to the vision. David, when he had been anointed as king, he wasn't king for many, many years. And even when he did become king, he was only king of Judah for many years until finally he becomes king of all of Israel. And he could look at his circumstances and say, it's not fair. Saul's treating me wrong. Saul's doing all these things that are incorrect with the scripture. And here I am, a man after God's own heart, hiding out in caves. Or he could look and say, you know what? God said that I'm going to be king. And it doesn't matter what Saul says. It doesn't matter what anybody else does or says or thinks about me. I'm going to look at what God said about me. So you can start off every morning and you can just decide, I'm going to have a good day. Doesn't matter if the tire goes flat. Doesn't matter if this happens or that happens or whatever. It's going to be a good day because this is the day that the Lord has gave. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad. That's what my Bible says. Didn't say let us be mad. Didn't say let us be discouraged. You know, any day that I wake up and I've got breath in my body, I feel it's a pretty good day. There's a lot of people that didn't wake up this morning. They died in their sleep, or they died in a car wreck last night, or they overdosed, you know, out in some party, or they got shot down by some mob or whatever it would be. They didn't wake up this morning. But you know what? We did, and we ought to thank God and say, Lord, how can I use this day for your glory? Am I going to mope through life and am I going to drag my feet and walk around with my bottom lip dragging the ground because I feel sorry for myself? Or am I going to do the right things and say the right things and make the choice that this is going to be a good day? Amen. You can make the choice. Is it going to be something? Is it whatever circumstance you're in? You can look at the positive in it or you can look at the negative in it. Sister Hattie said the right thing. But many times we always want to say the wrong thing. Oh, something, I'm afraid something terrible is going to happen, Brother Hoover. I'm just afraid there's something, I'm afraid there's something bad around the corner. And I, you know, I'm inferior and I'm not as good. I'm not as smart as my brother. Or I'm not as good a baseball player as my brother. Or I'm not as pretty as my sister. Or I'm not as fast as this one. Or I'm not as rich as that one. Or I don't have as big a house as that one. Or I don't have as good a job or as nice a car or this or that or the other one. You can focus on those things all the time and build yourself a little inferiority complex and all poor pitiful me, everything's terrible and everything's going wrong. Or you can say, you know what? Something good is about to happen. Something good is in store. Amen. It's your choice this morning. I can't make you say positive things. I can't make you make the choice to have a good day, but you have that choice. It's sitting on you this morning. Man in his own mental way of thinking is wrong to begin with. Now, Forbes has an article that I want to read you here. There's many similar things out on the internet or at your bookstore or whatever you want to go and do. And these are things. Now, if you're not careful, we can tend to lean just towards psychology or mass psychology or all these different things. And there's plenty of guys that want to get up and give you a pep talk, and they want to kind of mind over matter you and just speak your way into all these things and just say that, you know, I'm this and I'm that. And you know what? There's a point that is good. And there's a point that it's bad. And the point that it is good is, are what the things they're telling you scriptural? And can you find scripture to go along with what they're telling you to say and do? Or is it something that's a selfish motive or just so that you can have a little bit of pride and say, look at me or whatever? So we're going to look at some things that I read that I feel like goes right along with some scriptures. And this is about training the subconscious mind. Now, your subconscious mind will believe whatever you tell it. So if you tell your subconscious mind, I'm sick, your subconscious mind is going to accept, well, I guess we're sick today. If you tell your subconscious mind that you're feeling good, that everything's going to be okay, your subconscious mind is just going to soak in whatever it is that you're telling it. So we find that it would behoove us to have a positive confession. Forbes.com, this article about training the subconscious mind, it says, be willing to see the unchangeable change. Be willing to see the unchangeable change. Now, we have a scripture for that. Abraham called those things which were not as though they were. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. He called those things that were not, that seemed impossible, that seemed like they couldn't be, that seemed unchangeable. It didn't seem like his wife could be changed back into a young woman. It didn't seem like her womb could be restored back to be able to have children when she wasn't even able to have them as a young woman. But he called those things that were not as though they were. He was willing to see that things that look unchangeable can change. We look at our circumstance many times. It'll never get better. My friendship with this person is never going to change. My relationship with my parents or this situation over here, my job situation, my financial situation, my health, the doctor says it's incurable. Well, be willing to look at things that seem unchangeable and see that they are able to change. Don't allow other people's fears to cast shadows of doubt. Oh, you better not do that. Brother Sam, you better not do that. You know, I heard Brother So-and-so over here, he did it, and he got all mixed up. I heard about this person over here. You know what? They went on a boat ride, and you know what? Their boat had a hole in it, and they went right to the bottom of the lake and drowned. So you better not get on a boat, or you better not do this, or you better not invest your money, because some people have invested money and lost money, yeah? And some people have invested and become billionaires. So, you know, we can look at fears and doubts and allow other people to impress their fears, or, well, you know, I'd be careful. You know, somebody started believing God sent a prophet, and they went out way off on the deep end, and they believe that he's God and all these things. I'd stay away from that Branham stuff. Well, there's a lot of other people that are gonna have walked right into it and got revelation and are gonna take a rapture one day. So amen. I don't want to look at the negative, I want to look at the positive. Don't allow other people's fears to cast shadows of doubt. This is scriptural. Romans chapter 3, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Amen. Amen. Doesn't matter what Joe down the street says about it. It matters what God said about it. Doesn't matter about your preconceived fears of, oh, I could never do that. I would be a failure, or I would make a mess of it, or I would do this. Stop looking at what somebody else thinks about you and look at what God says about you. Surround yourself with positive reinforcement. I'll just say this morning. Let me just preface this with take it or leave it, okay? You can take this or leave this. This is maybe a little bit of Brother Nathan's opinion. We could go and we could find some scriptures that would go along with this, but I'm going to say it in a way that's not exactly scripture. This is Brother Nathan's opinion, so take it or leave it. But if you are surrounding yourself with people that are constantly negative and they constantly want to say negative things and all they want to do is talk bad about people or try to put fear on you or try to bring you down and try to rob you of your victory. I'm not saying don't ever speak to that person again, but I'm saying I would distance myself a little bit and stop spending so much time around people that are constantly negative and find yourself some friends and some family and some church family or whatever it is that will say positive things to you and about you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Paul was telling them, look, we've got plenty of good examples in the scripture. He had just given the faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Jephthah, and by faith Barak, and by faith Shamgar, and by faith this one, and by faith that one, by faith Sarah and Abraham. He said, look, we're compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. Stop believing all the unbelievers, and stop looking at the negative. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Another thing that this says is speak your success as a present fact, not a future plan. One day, Brother Hoover, one day I'm going to be a real Christian. Why not today? Why put it way out in the future? One day I'm going to be the right kind of husband. One day I'm going to be the right kind of daddy. One day I'm going to apply myself at my work and I'm going to get a promotion. Don't speak it off in the future. Say, I am. You know what? Today is the day I become a better Christian. Today I'm a better daddy. Today I'm a better husband. Today I'm going to apply myself at my studies or my school or my work or whatever it is. You say you got scripture for that? Yeah, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not something we hope way off for in the distance. Oh, one day this, one day that. Faith is a substance. Faith is a habit now. It's a possession. God said so, so it's mine now. I'm not waiting for the revival next year. I'm not waiting for the next camp. I'm not waiting for the next church service. I am accepting my healing now. I am accepting victory now. Amen. Jesus Christ the same, 1958. And let me say this now, that the word of God will defeat the devil anywhere, anytime, or any place. You mean on my job? Yes. You mean at my school? You mean if I get thrown in jail, if I get this, if I get that, if I'm over here in some other country, the word of God will defeat the devil anywhere, anytime, or any place. He will defeat the devil. And the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you can look at it the way God wrote it and accept it in your heart, God will make that word become life. I don't know about you. I am not interested in just letting my Bible or the 1,200 and something message tapes that we have set on my shelf or set on my desk and gather dirt and dust or set on my cell phone and just be there and be able to say, oh, look, I'm a message believer. I've got the table app. That's wonderful. But the message wasn't made just for it to sit on your phone. The message was made to become life. And the only way that it can become life is if people will apply it in their own life and say, look, this wasn't for 57. This wasn't for AD 33 back there with Jesus. This wasn't for AD 50 with Paul. It's for me now, present tense. Anytime, any place, anywhere, the word of God will defeat Satan. And if you can have the right mental attitudes towards any divine promise of God, God will bring it to pass. Why? Take it, he says, look at it in the way that God wrote it and accept it in your heart. God will make the word become life. When he said, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases, and the doctor says, well, we don't really have any fix for this. There's no medicine or there's no surgery. Well, you know, it'd be nice if you could just take a pill or if you could just have a surgeon cut something out. That might be a quick fix, but you know what? Whether they can or whether they can't, I'm going to take God at his word and say, he is the God that has healed me. It's not something I'm waiting for off in the future. That, oh, if I can just have enough faith, or oh, if brother so-and-so could just come through town and pray for me. Hey, that's wonderful, but God's word already says that you're healed. I thank God that he sends people along to remind us of it, but he doesn't have to. He's already said it. Don't you hate when you tell your kids something? Your kids come in, what are we having for dinner? You know, we're having spaghetti for dinner, and they've got their earbuds in, or they was talking to somebody else or whatever, and they don't hear you, and they ask you 17 times what you're having for dinner, and you say, I'm tired of repeating myself. I wonder how many times God has got tired of repeating himself, because that we just need a little pep talk to remind us, hey, you're saved. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got your healing. You've got your children. All these things are yours. Every promise in the book is yours. Amen. He doesn't have to come back and repeat himself. He already told us these things. And if you can take the right mental attitude towards it and say, it's mine. I'm going to make it become life. I'm not waiting for the next this or the next that. I'm going to receive it now.
He doesn't have to come back and die for me. He's already died. He's already paid the price. Amen. My healing, the symptoms may still be there, but my healing was manifested 2,000 years ago. Right. He paid the price already. Brother Branham says in The Inner Veil in 1956, he's talking about how with our old nature, we couldn't even get along with ourselves, let alone with our spouse or our co-workers or whatever it would be. And he says he puts his spirit in you, gives you a new spirit, a new outlook, a new faith. I think some of us need a new outlook. I don't know about you. I need a new outlook. I'll be honest. Amen. I need a new outlook. I need to stop going through life stressing out about every little thing and worried about every little thing and everything becoming a big deal. I need a new outlook. Can you be honest this morning too? And recognize that you need a new outlook. You know, I was telling Brother Hoover about something that happened, and I said, you know what? It was good timing because this series has really been a help to me. Had it happened 6 months ago, it may have been a different response, but you know what? I'm getting a new outlook. I don't claim I'm perfect yet, but some of these things I'm looking at in the Word is giving me a new outlook. Here's some other things that we should do. We should voice positive thoughts to cancel out the negative ones. Now, negative thoughts, we looked at it last week. Brother Branham said that you can't keep a thought from coming, but you can keep the thought from roosting. And it's the devil's job. As long as we've got breath in our body, he's going to come and he's going to try to force his negative thoughts on you. He's going to try to force fears on you. He's going to try to make you doubt yourself and doubt God's word and second guess yourself and worry all night about your children and worry about this and worry about that. Satan's job is to try to put those things on you. And you can lay there at night and you can think all the terrible things that might have happened. Oh my, you know, so-and-so hasn't texted me back. I wonder if they was in a car wreck and a semi just came and just decapitated them. I wonder, you know, you can dwell on that and worry about that and bite your fingernails. And oh my, I wonder about my job. My boss has been a little bit distant from me and he didn't reply to my last email as quick as I like. And he might be done with me. He might be ready to fire me. And oh my, you know, this one said this the other day and you know, they didn't shake my hand. And you know, I sent them an email and they didn't respond in 37 seconds. And I bet they've got a problem with me. I bet they've got something about it. And you can let the devil begin to put all these things. If you struggle with that, come back tonight. We'll look at that a lot more tonight with the help of the Lord. Just with how the devil will beat your mind up and try to get you to cross bridges before you get to him and plan things out that are never going to happen anyhow, and you'll waste your time and your energy, and all it's going to do is raise your blood pressure and make you nervous and upset and give you an ulcered stomach if you let the devil. But I don't want to do all those things. But when the devil gives me a negative thought, now if somebody was to come into your home and you were sitting there with your children trying to have supper or trying to have devotions, and somebody knocked on the door and they came in, they said, hey, I'm so from down the street, and I wanted to tell you, your children are stupid and they're never going to make it and they're just no good and they're no nothing. You know, if there was any man or woman about you, you'd stand up and you'd say, listen here, let me say something to you just a minute. I don't know who you are or who you think you are. I don't care what your title is, if you're elder so-and-so or pastor so-and-so or bishop so-and-so. This is my house and these are my children, and you're not going to talk about my children that way, and you're not going to do this, and you're not. If somebody was to come in and they was to start using foul language and acting terrible in front of your wife and children, you would hopefully be man or woman enough to stand up and say, look, I am not going to allow this to go on in my house. There's the door. But we let the devil do the same thing in our mind. And he comes and says all these negative things about you and your family and your children and the message and the Bible. And instead of kicking him out, you just sit there and entertain it. Well, I wonder if that could be. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe this and maybe that and maybe. And you allow him. Some of you brothers out here in the stores, you see some woman walk along half naked. And if she was to do that in your house, you'd tell her, hey, you put some clothes on around my children. But if you're not careful, out there in the store, the devil begins to put these things in your mind. And instead of saying, get out of here, like you would. Now, you can't tell the woman to get out of the store, but you can go down a different aisle than the aisle that she's on and quit following her down the aisles and go to a different aisle. You can overcome the negative thoughts or the bad thoughts with the positive. Now, if Satan comes as a thought and he's just trying to put something in your mind as a seed, you can try just in your mind to work all that out and have this little mental battle with yourself. But I think it'd be better if we voice our positive thoughts. And when the devil comes and says, you'll never make it, you'll say, I will make it because Jesus Christ already paid the price. Amen. Then your subconscious hears it and it says, you know what? We're going to make it because Jesus already paid the price. And when he comes and says, oh, you got that bruise on your arm. And you know, Brother Bram said, sometimes a bruise can turn into cancer and you're probably going to get cancer on your arm and die. And he begins to put all these thoughts in your head. You say, well, you know what, devil? By his stripes, I am healed. I'm not going to worry about some bruise and think that it's something before I have any proof of what it is. And then even if the doctor says that it's cancer, I'm not going to accept the box of rattlesnakes. And your subconscious says, you know what? I'm healed. I'm all right. Voice the positive thoughts. A word is a thought expressed, Brother Bram tells us. God didn't just sit up there in his mind and his imagination and think. Now, he had these thoughts in his mind for all of eternity, but he didn't just stay up there forever and keep in his mind about creation, all these things. But there came a point in time when God began to say, let there be. And that put it into action. It had been in his thoughts, Brother Darrell, for all of eternity, but until God spoke it, those thoughts did not come into action. And we can sit and think about how good the message is, or think about this, or think about that, or think about all this thing. But until you begin to speak from your own mouth and confess these positive things, it's just going to rattle around up there in your brain. But I want my words to be positive. I want my testimony to be positive. I want my confession to be positive. Brother Bram says, Wyatt had to be shepherd, 1964. He says, you hear so much today about positive thinking. You just put your mind on anything and think positive on it. The devil can do that. There's only one thing that rules over all, and that's God's word. If you're thinking contrary to the word, forget your thinking. Think on the word. So see, it's not just thinking positive thoughts and mind over matter. It's thinking thoughts of God's word and speaking words that are the same as God's word and keeping those things before you. There's a thin line between what I'm saying and what some psychiatrist out here will try to tell you, or some self-help specialist or whatever. And hey, if you're looking for to better your career or something, that might be all right. But we're talking about our souls here this morning. We're talking about our health and our families and things like that. So I don't want to just take some name it and claim it routine and some psychobabble, but I want to take it back to God's word and keep those things before me. My goodness, 12:25 already. We're going to be a little bit longer this morning, but we'll try to make up with it with a short song service, okay? I can't stop here. I've got a little bit further to go. Here are some things that you should keep before you. The devil will come and tell you, you'll never make it. It's impossible. Doctor says this. This one says that. God says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Now, that's good. We can amen that and believe that. But then Jesus takes it a little bit further. And he says, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. So not only is nothing impossible for God, but nothing is impossible for you. Now that's not in yourself, but that's God in you. Amen. With God in you, nothing is impossible. Me by myself, I am a failure. But me and God, we can take on the devil, we can take on sickness, we can take on whatever faces us. Nothing is impossible. Amen. Line up every demon out of hell, and you get God on my team, me and God will win. Some of the brothers were playing golf a few months ago, and Brother Jack Duff had come in. He wanted to play with them, so they were odd man out. And one of the brothers texted and said, I'll invite Brother so-and-so if he can be on my team. I said, well, he's obviously a good player, because if you automatically say so-and-so can only come if they'll be on my team, then there's a little more behind the story than just meets the eye. And so, we begin to recognize whatever. You know, every demon out of hell will never stop you from getting your healing if you got God on your team. Every demon out of hell will never be able to take your children to hell with them if you got God on your team. Every temptation and everything that they can put out there to trip them up and stumble them, you keep saying, I apply the token. God said they're mine. They're part of my inheritance. And I'm going to take God at his word. Every demon out of hell, you go up and line up and try all your best. And you can huff and you can puff. But God's on my team. And with God and me, nothing is impossible. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be? Well, Brother Nathan, you just don't understand the obstacles in my life and the people that's against me at work and the people that have turned against me in my family and the people that have said this at my school. And you just don't understand the obstacle. If God's for us, who can be against us? But Brother Nathan, politics is changing, and this is changing, and this country over here is doing this, and this country, and you know what if the government changes this and changes that, and what if they outlaw prayer, or what if they outlaw going to church, or if God can be for us, who can be against us? Hey, amen. If it gets bad enough down here, God will just take me on out of here. I'm not worried about how bad it's getting down here. I'm going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's what I'm worried about. Amen. Stop looking at the negative. Look at what's coming for us. 1 John 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. So here's some more good things to tell yourself. Tell your family and tell anybody you come in contact with a little negative attitude. When the devil comes and says, you can't do this and you're going to fail at this and all this, remind them, God is with me. God is with me. Oh, you must think that you're somebody. You must think you're somebody special. Look at you saying, God is with me. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm just taking God at his word. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. David said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It don't matter if I'm in trouble as long as God's with me in the trouble. It don't matter if I'm in debt as long as God's with me in the debt. It don't matter if my circumstance is bad, sickness, health, riches, poverty, whatever. He said he'd be with me. He'll take me through. Amen. God is with me. But Brother Nathan, this circumstance, that God is with me. The disciples were out there and the boat was about to capsize and filling with water and about to be sink. And Brother Bram said every devil in the sea had sworn that they were going to drown them, but they had Jesus in the boat with them. Amen. Why should I worry? Amen. God's with me. Not only that, God is helping me. David said, my help cometh from the Lord. He said, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. He said, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Amen. Not because they're smarter than somebody else. Not that they belong to the right group or the right club or the right church. But because they trust in him. Amen. Isaiah said, for the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Amen. Amen. I'm going to repeat him this morning. Amen. Whatever you're facing. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the danger, no matter how bad it looks, fear not, he is with thee, he'll help thee. Amen. Again, Isaiah, for the Lord God will help me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Philippians says, chapter 4, verse 13, St. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. Amen. Maybe we should put this on a reminder on our phone to pop up about every 30 minutes. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But the battery died on the car, and I don't have money to fix it, and this went wrong at work, and I don't know how to get out of it, and this is happening at school, and my children are going through this, and my finances, and this and that, and the church, and the message, and this person over here is teaching this. And all. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. I can't do it on my own. I'll be honest. I'm insufficient, but I can do all things through Christ. Not only is God with me, not only is God helping me, but God is guiding me. John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Counselors are good and role models are good, but if you can get the Lord to direct your path, that's better than anybody else that can help you. Amen. Isaiah 48, verse 17, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. I don't know what to do, Brother Nathan. I don't know where to turn. I've got decisions that are facing me and my family. What school should I send them to? What job should I accept? Where should I put in my application? What church should I go to? What dentist should we use? What hospital should we go to? Who should our medical doctor be? What type of vehicle should we buy? What about this? What about that? You know, I'm not here to tell you all those things, but you know what? There's one that will lead you in the way that you should go. If you'll submit it to him. Some of you brothers that own your own company, should I take this job or should I not? Should I hire this employee or should I not? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I approach this issue with one of my family members or one of my friends? Or should I just leave it alone and give it some time to heal? Ask God and he will lead you and he will show you the way that you should go. And you know what? If you think it's God and it's saying something contrary to his word, then that's the devil impersonating God. Because he will never lead you contrary to his word. Brother Bram says that over and over and over in the message. He won't lead you contrary to his word. He'll always lead you to the word. Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. I don't have to fear evil. I don't have to fear anything because he's with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now you can listen to the devil's lie, or you can recognize, you know what? Doesn't matter what it looks like. Goodness and mercy, they're following me. Right. Not just on the good days, not just on the bad days, not just on the mediocre days, all the days of my life. Amen. Oh, but out here ahead of me, Brother Nathan, it looks pretty bad. The doctor says this and the circumstances look like this and I don't see any way out. Up ahead, the path is unclear and I don't know where to go or what to do. Yeah, but adjust that rearview mirror and look right behind you. Goodness and mercy's following you. Amen. But I took the wrong turn, Brother Nathan, but look, they're still right there back behind you following you. But I got off on the wrong path. I didn't follow the GPS, God's positioning satellite. I didn't follow the right things. But you know what? He's right back there in the seat with you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He didn't say I'll be with you if you'll just be real good and legalistic and always do everything the word says. He said I'll never leave you. I will never forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. And oh, by the way, I got some things with me that's following me and following you. Goodness and mercy, they're right there with you. Amen. Speak hopefully and optimistically about everything. If we can do this, Sister April, if I can go home and do this Monday morning, my life will change for the better. My family's life will change for the better. The church will change for the better. My relationships with individuals will change for the better if I can speak hopefully and optimistically about everything. What do you think about Brother so-and-so down the road? He said this and they said that. What do you think about this brother over in this country? They said this and they're believing this and they're doing that. Well, I may not agree with all that, but I sure hope that God will show them the truth if they're wrong. And if I'm wrong, I sure hope he'll show me the truth. And you know what? God has been able to control this whole thing on his own without my help all these thousands of years. And I think he's got it under control and he'll take care of them and he'll take care of me. Amen. Speak hopefully and optimistically about everything. I heard your children are backslid. No. They're on their way to Calvary. They're just taking the long road. Oh, they're taking the long road, but they're on their way. Feed your mind and soul on the Word of God instead of on negative things. Instead of receiving negativity and everything, you know, sometimes it's good to keep up, I guess, with what the weather is and what's happening in politics and some of that to a certain extent. But if you start feeding yourself on all the negativity all the time, it'll drag you down and sap your victory and your joy. And sometimes you ought to lay down the newspaper or minimize the Fox News website or whatever it is and pick up the good news for a while and feast on that instead of all the negative. When someone expresses a negative opinion, redirect it with a positive outlook. Brother so-and-so doesn't like you very much. Well, that's okay. I love him anyhow. Amen. Heard your husband might be losing his job. Yeah, God's got one better for him. Heard your little boy got a mosquito bite. You know, there was somebody died from a mosquito bite the other day. Yeah, that's right, but they didn't probably weren't serving the same God that we were. Or if they were, it must have been their time to go. I had a prophet that said that God can't take me till he's done with me. I believe the same thing for my children. Philip was asking me the other day about John, the Revelator, when they put him in the pot of boiling oil and they tried to boil the Holy Spirit out of him. Brother Bram said, you can't boil it out. They put him in a pot of boiling oil, thought that they would kill him, and it didn't bother him. He just sat back there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, this feels pretty good. It's like spa day in Patmos. Some of you sisters out there are just praying they were essential oils that they were boiling him in. It's probably good for his skin tone. Probably helped with infection and... They were boiling him in oil. Didn't bother him, didn't faze him. They said, oh, he bewitched the oil. Philip said, you think God did that because he still had to write the book of Revelation? I said, I think so, buddy. I think so. Satan could not take him physically, scientifically. It looked like it was up for John. Here it is, bubble, bubble, bubble over there. Heating it 7 times hotter like the, like old, yeah, thank you. Fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar, there it is. Like old Nebuchadnezzar did. Looked like it was over for John. They begin to lower him in. His toes touched that. He thought, goodness gracious, have I been sitting so long? My feet are asleep. I don't even feel it. They put him a little bit lower. Didn't feel it in his knees. Didn't feel it in his elbows. He said, you know what? This isn't too bad. Scientifically impossible. But God was not through with this man yet. Some of you have survived wrecks and things that's happened in your life that it looked absolutely impossible that you should walk away from them. But you know what? God wasn't through with you yet. Right. Satan cannot take you. He can try and he can try and he can try. Sister Patty, he's tried and he's tried and he tried, but he can't take you till God's done with you. Satan cannot take you until God's done with you. When somebody expresses a positive opinion, just redirect it with a positive outlook. The devil hates that. Wisdom versus faith, 1962. You heard the story about the old sister that went to church. Wouldn't say nothing bad about anybody. I don't know what sister he's talking about because I don't think she goes to my church. Have you met her, Brother Truman, yet? Brother Stephen, has she come in the back door this morning? A sister that wouldn't say nothing bad about nobody. I'm not picking on the sisters. I don't know a brother that I've never heard say nothing bad about nobody. But it's apparently possible. You heard the story about the old sister that went to church, wouldn't say nothing bad about anybody. Said, what do you think about the devil? Said, well, he's a good adversary. My goodness, if we could live life like that. He's a good adversary. Wouldn't say nothing bad about nobody. Brother Brandon preaches a sermon, The Presence of God Unrecognized. I think if we could just go through life and when we wake up in the morning, remember some of these verses. He's with me. Lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. And we could recognize whether I feel it, whether I see it tangibly, whether I can describe it, whether I can understand it. The presence of God is with me. From the time I wake up in the morning to the time I go back to sleep at night, all through my sleep and my subconscious dreams or thoughts or whatever, God is with me. And then, you know, it's hard for us as humans to really, you know, we recognize it as a scripture. We recognize it to be true. But it's hard to go through life like that. So visualize his presence with you. You know what? He's with me. Just the same as if I could look over in the passenger seat and there was Jesus Christ looking like the way that Hoffman's head painted him. If I can visualize him sitting there, he's with me, that real and that tangible. And then acknowledge God's presence. Recognize it, visualize it, and acknowledge it. You know what? Brother so-and-so say something bad about you. ask you a question about how you're doing. You know what? I'm not perfect, but God's with me, and so everything's going to be okay. Amen. I'm going to acknowledge His presence today. I'm going to acknowledge that He's with me. I'm going to tell everybody I come in contact with, you know what? Everything's all right. Not because of me, but because of who's with me. Amen. Recognizing your day and its message, the musicians will come. This is, I'll read this quote and we'll try to close. Brother Branham, in his prayer here at the end of God, of recognizing your day and its message, I love this prayer. He says, God, create in me a revival. Let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival. Let the revival be in me. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, what is needed in me. Let me from this hour on be thine. More consecrated servant, a better servant, more blessed of you. More able, more humbler, more kinder, more willing to work. More looking to the things that are positive and forgetting the things that are in the past and the negatives. Let me press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ. Amen. Is that your desire this morning? Lord, help me to look to the positive things and forget all the things in the past. Forget all the negatives. Forget all the he said, she said, or this person is doing this, or I think this, or I'm afraid of this, or whatever. God, help me to hold on to the positive of your word and place it over my life. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, Lord, we believe that your presence is here with us, not because we deserve it, but because your word says so. We take you at your word, Lord. We recognize your presence. We acknowledge your presence. We believe you're here with us this morning, Lord. Not only here this morning because we gathered at Church of the Open Door, but Lord, that you're with us because we brought you with us, Lord. Lord, you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. Lord, you're a very present help in times of trouble. You're our shield. Lord, you're our strong rock, Lord, that when our decisions would have dragged us off into the shifting sands of the world or of man's ideas, yet there was something that we were anchored to that was holding us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your protection. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, may we be able to look through your eyes and see all the positive things surrounding us. Lord, even if things don't look positive, may we recognize that the promise of your word to us is positive. And that, Lord, we should be able to look as Abraham and call those things which are not as though they are. Look at the promise instead of the circumstance. Look at your word instead of the symptom. Help us, Jesus. Lord, change our outlook. As your prophet said, our old humanistic outlook, our old humanistic way of thinking, it's wrong to begin with. But Lord, we're not depending on that, Lord. We want to look through eyes of grace and mercy, through eyes of faith. Lord, we want to take you at your word. We don't want to let the shifting sands of symptoms and circumstance and trials and tribulations, Lord, for us to start listening to the devil's word instead of yours. Through all of that, Lord, may we take you at your word and realize that even if it doesn't look good, that we know it's working for our good because your word promised it. Lord, we have nothing to complain about. We have a perfect word that we're depending on. Help us, Lord. Change our outlook. Change our attitude. Make it better. Make it more positive, Lord. May we have a positive profession. May we confess good things over ourselves and our children, our church, our brothers and sisters, even if they don't see things exactly like we do. Lord, help us to have a good testimony and say positive things about them. Help us to find something good to say or just not say anything at all. Help us, Jesus. Make us more like you, we pray, Father. In Jesus Christ's name.
Restore unto me all the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me.
Yes, Lord.
Create in me
cast me not away. Turn to somebody and tell them this morning, I'm feeling better than I did when I came in. Feeling better than when I came in this morning, brothers. Amen. Look, somebody tell them, I am blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. Oh, I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. I'm feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go. So let's go on.
Are you blessed? Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Well, he may not when you want him to, but he will be there right on time. Oh, he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, church, now he's an on-time.
Well, I'm
hinder me. I'm gonna praise Him in the morning. I'm gonna praise Him all day long. Well, I feel like praising Him. Oh, yes, I feel like praising Him. Once more. Oh, yes, I feel like praising, praising Him. Oh, yes, I feel like praising, praising Him. I'm gonna praise Him in the morning. I'm gonna praise Him all day long. Well, I feel like it's already done. Hallelujah. Oh, it's already done. Lord, we praise Your name. This battle, it's over. The victory is won. It's already done.
Can you say it this way?
My family is healed. Hallelujah. My family is healed. I praise Your name. This battle, it's over. The victory is won. It's already done. Oh, I shall overcome. Victory is won. It's already done. Oh, I shall overcome. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I shall overcome. Lord, I praise Your name. This battle, it's over. The victory. It's already done.
Amen. God bless you, saints. It's not done because we feel it. It's done because He said it's done. Amen. God bless you. Is Brother Paul from Ghana here? If you're here, brother, would you come up and dismiss us in prayer? I'd like for you just to dismiss us before we go. Brother Paul. Amen. Sure, it's great to have these brothers visiting with us here. Come a long, long way. We get to spend eternity with them, so we'll just start getting along right here. Amen.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before Thy presence in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just want to thank You and praise You for feeding our souls with the word of life. We give You all the glory, Lord, because of Your goodness and mercy. We believe Your word does not go and return unto You void, but it accomplishes that for which You sent it. May the Holy Spirit overshadow the word in our individual hearts and produce fruits unto Your glory and honor. We continue to bless this church, Lord. Bless the pastor. Bless the elders, the trustees. Bless every brother and sister, Lord. May You continue to hold our hands and lead us through this dark world of sin. May Your word have its preeminence in us, Lord. And let us be lights in this dark hour. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. thank you for hearing our prayer. For we've made all these requests in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go.
It's already done. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it's already done. Lord, I praise your name. This battle, it's over. Victory is won. It's already done. Oh, I shall. Victory is won. It's already done. Oh, I'm already healed. Hallelujah. I'm already healed. I praise your name. This battle, it's over. The victory. It's already done. My family is sealed. Hallelujah. My family is sealed. I praise your name. This battle, it's over. The victory is won. It's already done. Yes, good.